Hello and welcome to the podcast for this week. Pretty damn good week. Kicking off with Drafto. That's right, Paulie, plain old boring Paul, who was at the one night stand, dumped up on stage with Illy. I got a little chat with him backstage after the show. So we had a chat about what he's up to, when we're going to hear new music, that kind of business. The Paper Kites dropped in, just fresh back from a bunch of sold out shows in the States. And a show in Manila. The Paper Kites dropped in, talked about a bunch of stuff, including opening up their rehearsal room to the public. Never a good idea. Chris Cheney jumped on the phone on the way to Bass in the Grass Festival after doing that sweet guitar solo with Art vs. Science at Big Pineapple. That was very, very good. And Peter Dinklage, Tyrion Lannister himself. That's right. He's in the country promoting that X-Men movie, which is pretty damn good. And he jumped on the phone to tell us all about Game of Thrones and even a little spoiler that I think I've cut out of this. But first up, here's plain old boring old Paulie. Alright, the one night stand is over in Mildura. Illy has just come off stage. It's been absolutely massive. And one of the little special guests that Illy had up on stage with me right now, Paulie Draft. How you doing?
Hello, Lindsay. I'm good. I'm good. I'm very good.
How long ago did you get drafted into this?
Oh, wow.
Oh, I did not mean that. I'm sorry.
It's getting all pun crazy.
I didn't mean it. It's this punishment.
It's been a long day.
It's been a long day for all of us.
It has.
Yes.
So much me. It's foreign territory for me.
Just walking up. Do you not often just do guest spots up on stage?
Not of this scale. This is massive.
What? 20,000 people?
Wow, that's insane. Absolutely.
Estimated.
Yeah, he killed it.
He did.
Everyone killed it.
How what was it like getting out there on stage in front of those people? Just
well, it was very foreign. It's you know, I'm so used to the routine and mm-hmm. I got here later last night and watching Illy have to do all the press that I usually do was awesome.
Especially
I can do nothing. It's
you take that one out.
I have a sleep poll. I was like, yeah, I'll do that. I'll do that.
Especially since you had to kind of, or you couldn't do press because you were the secret weapon.
Yeah.
You and Vance.
Take an Instagram photo. Not that I'm too good on Instagram, but still, you know,
really?
If I wanted to.
You wanted to like big this up and get, you know, do your socials.
Yeah, none of that.
So how did it come together that you were going to be here?
Just Al and I are just good friends. We've been doing a few shows. I did his album launch in Perth.
Yeah.
Just the one song, Yo-Yo, that I featured on for his record. And then Groovin' the Moo last weekend, which I saw you at.
Yeah.
And then, he decided to get me over for this, which is nice. It's a nice little break. And it's nice to get back to the music again as well, you know.
Because you haven't been playing very many gigs lately.
I haven't. I've taken some time off to concentrate on other things.
On feeding people when they come to Western Australia?
Well, hopefully.
Yeah. Well, I definitely saw a photo of, like, Bliss and Esso and Seth Sentry up on a table being served food by you.
Yeah. And you know, I've got a licensed venue and Bliss is bringing his own beers in. Like he owns it.
What? Jonathan, what are you doing, sir?
No.
I mean, obviously this has happened now, so you're not going to be in trouble from licensing now, but did you have to say, Bliss, sir, please, you can't bring...
I did. I had to set him straight, and he didn't like it.
No, I didn't. He did. That's ridiculous.
We're buddies.
I know, but this is the problem now, that if you are, like, you know, you're in a position of service now in the hospitality industry...
Oh, the pressure.
The customer's always right.
Unfortunately, they are. Unfortunately, they're not always the nicest human beings either, you know.
Really? Is this because, you know, your restaurant does cater to the healthful crowd and there's a few wankers in that in that world?
Well, unfortunately, there's wankers in the human race full stop. So, yeah.
Not here in Mildura.
Beautiful people everywhere.
People are packing stuff up. Not you, though. You got nothing to pack up?
I've got nothing at all. It's awesome. I've got a flight in the morning, and that's about the extent of my role today.
Are you heading home? What's the plan tomorrow?
I'll go to Indo for a little retreat, which is nice. A step away. Look, you're going to ask me something really
cheap. You're going to Indonesia.
I am.
What part of Indonesia?
I'm going to Ubud.
So not a Bali party,
no.
Then.
Worlds away from
it. Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, it is nice. It's nice to step away from the restaurant and get my writing brain back into the works, which is super important for me at the moment.
How has your writing brain been going? How has your writing been going?
It's been really amazing lately, actually. Like, I think with the restaurant, it's really breathed the life back into my music that I needed after such a long slog with the Briley and the touring circuit and everything that I was doing on a solo level. I think the pressure of me being a solo artist got to me a little bit. But with the restaurant, it's like I'm 20 writing the music that I love to write again, which is amazing. I've got 20-odd songs I need to cull for a record.
Wow.
All I need to do is just finish it.
Is that like because you are working so hard at the restaurant, the music's become like a hobby again, like an outlet, like a bit of fun?
Exactly right. Like, I feel like when I was writing the Brothers Grimm, like Jimmy Ricard and whatnot, I'm writing a lot of songs because I pick up all my own produce, the organic produce that we get for the restaurant. Every Monday, Thursday, I go, and it's very early. Markets are early thing. So
that's not hip hop time.
Normality, and I got normality. Yeah. So I'm writing all my songs in the van like I used to, and it's nice. It feels like I am normal again.
Wow. And as a result, are there songs about produce?
Thank God. There's lots of songs about girls for some reason. I don't know why, but it just seems to rehash that.
You would be seeing relationships in the shop. You would be seeing a lot of people come through who are in relationships, seeing a lot of girls.
Yeah, there is that.
Like seeing stories unfold in front of you, I mean.
The whole food industry is just revolves around females and really good-looking females, which is, well, it's a blessing for me.
Yeah.
I'm in an amazing position, but it's like, oh, it's a blessing and a curse in the same vein, you know.
Right. Now, the last couple of things we heard was with Taku was involved.
Yes.
Is he doing some more beats for you?
He's doing a couple. I'm in a different direction now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working with Suffer from the Hoods a lot, actually.
Nice.
You know? Usual suspects like Trials, Illy's DJ, Cam Bluff.
Yep.
But yeah, that's about it at the moment. But lots of stuff in production, so I'm psyched to get out of it.
That's awesome. So you're off to Ubud to have a little bit of respite and stuff. Yeah. When are we going to hear some more music, you reckon?
Hopefully by the end of the year.
We'll jot it in our calendars.
Yeah, please.
And we'll have something tasty to tuck into.
Hey.
From the brain of Draft Paulie. Thank you for taking your break out from doing nothing backstage here in Mildura.
Thank you.
Shall we go and get in a jacuzzi?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Remember we first started playing this song back in 2012. Now about to do a big old Australian tour. The Paper Kites in the studio. The two core members who formed the band back in 2009, Christina and Sam. Hello.
Hello, Doctor.
How are you going?
I'm well. How are you guys?
Very well, thank you.
The core members. Sorry, that was a bit silly, wasn't it? I know you've been
fighting. Yeah, we're no more important than the others.
Well, that's not. I appreciate that. That's really nice. A lot of the times people think, yeah, we started the band, so we get to make the decisions. Hey,
nah.
But the decisions have been good. You guys, as we see, you did a pretty much sold out headlining tour of the US and Canada, and you just got back from the Philippines.
Yeah, we just got back on Monday night. Pretty wild trip in the old Manila town.
Okay,
and yeah, we went pretty much straight to a rehearsal for the Australian tour, which Sam, Raz and the band thought would be a great idea, and it was a terrible idea. We were so tired. So that was fun. And we thought we'd invite a few fans as well just to kind of get the vibe of a show. And it was pretty...
It was good.
It was really good. It was really fun. But Stina was like losing her voice.
When you're in a rehearsal environment, that's like a safe space. You don't want fans in there to see what really goes on.
Well, I think we kind of realise that sometimes when there's nobody else in, like, our rehearsal with us, it's kind of easy to muck around and, I don't know, you kind of go slow. And this was a sort of a real dress rehearsal of trying to run the set from start to finish. And so when there's people there, it does kind of make it, you feel like you have to be on your best behaviour and play well. So
that's fair enough. And some of these shows, this is like sort of big, like this is your first big tour back in Australia for a while. So you've got to put on a show.
That's it.
And you've got to make sure it's fine. Now, you said that it was a crazy tour of Manila. You played at the Wonderland Festival.
Yeah.
There was people like Architecture in Helsinki and Last Dinosaurs there. What was it that made it so wild?
It was just, we were talking about it before.
I think Sam's made it sound like a negative wild.
No, it was fantastic. It was just very surreal. Like, we got to the airport and we got rushed through customs by security and brought into this VIP room, and all the bands had, like, sort of their own personal security guard. Our guy was called Dovey. we sort of nicknamed him Big D, and he would just follow us everywhere. So every time we went out to watch a band, he wouldn't be far away. And then if anyone came up and, you know, wanted to grab a photo or something, you'd sort of shoo them away.
Wow.
We had to say, no, it's fine, man. Like, we want
to
meet people.
We're happy to do that.
Yeah.
Man,
it was really fun.
They definitely looked after us very well.
Yeah.
So,
and
yeah,
kept
it was
you
really
safe.
Well run. Yeah, absolutely.
Have you organised your own personal security for this tour to keep all the fans
yeah.
away and stuff?
You know.
Yeah. Like, Josh in the band kind of doubles on security.
Right.
He can get pretty fired up.
Good.
No,
yes.
No. It was actually really, I felt almost embarrassed. Like, I felt ridiculous. I was like, what? Why do we need this? This feels really silly. But,
take it.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
It was just them looking after us. So
I'm sure there at one point someone said, oh, what do we need this rider for? This is excessive. Don't do this. And then now that's a standard everywhere. The same thing.
Hey, something.
The drums were on that tour as well, weren't they, at that show? Did you see the drums?
Yeah. They were.
I haven't seen the drums in ages.
It feels terrible to say we actually didn't see them play.
Okay.
They were on really late and everyone was just so exhausted. So
it was funny. All the Australian bands had played. We were kind of all in the same room together. And all of us had played, and I think the schedule was running a little bit behind, and we kind of all were sort of hanging out, getting ready to head back to the hotel. So unfortunately, we didn't see them, but that's all right.
Oh, well. You just blame your security guard. He wouldn't let you near the stage.
That's
too much
it.
Security
yeah, Big D.
Issues. Yeah, right. Here we go. I have two members of the Paper Kites in the studio, Sam and Christina. This is a song that was nominated for Video of the Year for the J Award last year.
It was.
It didn't win, but it's probably lucky because if it had won, then you would be the band getting ripped off by One Direction.
That's true, we would. And it would be interesting to see how they'd redo that video, actually.
It was the same video team that made Yes Use video and yours?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. It was kind of a win-win. Like, we were there with some of the guys from Oh Yeah Wow.
Mm.
And it was sort of like, oh, well, we already thought that Club Feet would get it. So we were really stoked because, yeah, it's all the same team. So
yeah. And Jules from Club Feet is actually our lawyer. So
yeah.
It's very fun.
Jules is a lawyer?
Goodness, I don't know. Maybe he's doing music full time.
I think we should start because, you know, you got the Cub Sport guys who are dentists or dental nurses or whatever.
Yeah,
so we should.
I've seen that.
We could probably get an entire industry going just from people in bands.
Yeah, we could. I'm a nurse, so I could.
Brilliant.
I could be the nurse.
Excellent. You can be the nurse, Sam.
I could teach guitar.
All right, we've hit a stumbling block here.
Yeah.
But you saw the One Direction video, which is just exactly the same as the Yes You video clip, even
yeah.
to the point of like the box that they jump off and then they hit the frozen version of themselves and keep moving.
Yeah.
You know, I guess when there's that much money. Wait a second. Jules is a lawyer. What's he doing? He should go and do lawyer stuff on One Direction.
He's probably onto it right now.
Oh, I'm sure he is. Now, you guys, however, back in Australia for this Australian tour, and I saw, Christina, you posted a photo on Instagram of your two supports, Phoebe Starr and Erling, and they replied, yeah. Erling replied, can't wait to cuddle you and tell all the secrets. Now, what secrets are these?
Lots of secrets. Well, when I spoke to Hannah about, well, she messaged me a little while before it had all kind of been settled, and she was just saying, like, oh, I hope it works out. Like, I hope I can come on tour with you guys. And I was just so excited at the thought, the prospect of having some girls on tour with me, because it's few and far. It rarely happens.
I don't think it's ever happened.
I don't think I've... I think, yeah. Jen from Ballpark, when we were touring with Boy and Bear and them.
Mm-hmm.
So I had a girl buddy then, but, like, the City in Colour tour, I was... And that was a big crew, and I was the only girl. I'm often the only girl, so it'll be really nice having some gal pals on the road with us.
As Phoebe Starr said in the message underneath Erling's, underneath Hannah's, I've never toured with other girls. I'm so excited. So Phoebe as well. My goodness.
It'll be really good.
Mr. Dinklage, thank you for chatting to Triple J today.
Sure, thank you.
Let's get straight in. Bolivar Trask, what a role to play.
Yeah, the nemesis to the mutants, for sure.
but more importantly, great haircut and moustache as well.
Right. Speaking of more important things, yes, of course.
Exactly. For people who know you as Tyrion, they're going to see, like, 70s porn star Tyrion when they see X-Men.
Yes, they are.
It's a little bit like your friend Will.
I believe that Tyrion, though, is a 70s porn star at heart, so.
He does. He just hasn't had the right era to
He's
grow into the right
in the wrong time.
Oh, God damn him.
The wrong world, whatever Wherever Game of Thrones takes place.
Exactly. In his soul, he has definitely got a little bit of Bolivar Trask in him. Or maybe a little bit of Ron Burgundy from Anchorman, your friend Will Ferrell as well. Similar moustache.
Oh, yeah, I see what you did there. You're making fun of Trask, are you?
Please, I would never. Actually, there would have been a bunch of Game of Thrones fans on the set of X-Men. Were people asking you to spill the beans about season 4?
On the set of X-Men, for sure. Especially that Jennifer Lawrence. Oh. She was trying to get some spoilers out of me, but I wasn't gonna play that game.
I've chatted to George R.R. In the studio, and people try with him as well. And he knows a lot more than you guys do, I imagine.
He knows just about as much as you can know.
So, I mean, I don't want to give away too much, but Tyrion's in quite a lot of trouble at the moment in King's Landing.
Yes, he is.
But all I keep thinking of is in that situation, but with the moustache and the hair.
I know. Just... Wow, you really want to cross him over, don't you? You know, I'm an actor. There's different parts, you know. Yeah, I think you're confusing that. You're asking questions about two different projects, but as one.
I'm sorry, man. I'm going to bring up I Love You Too pretty soon as well, and then it's all going to get and Captain
Gunt.
There
wasn't a moustache in that.
No. I'm talking to Peter Dinklage on Triple J. I might actually ask you to get to choose a song. I was talking to Brendan Cowell, who was in Peter Healy's I Love You Too with you.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
He says hi from the Northern Territory is where he is at the moment. He said he made a mixtape of love songs for you at one stage.
He did, which was sort of confused my wife when I returned. I came home with Aussie love ballads, and my wife was like, "So how was it down under? You okay? What's going on there?" No,
she's got to meet Brendan Cowell.
I still have it. It's I listen to it daily.
That's how you get away.
I miss you, Brendan.
He also said that when it comes to karaoke, Peter Dinklage is quite good at bringing out some Eminem.
Oh, yeah, he came to New York and we did some roke, and yeah, I can you know, belt out a song or two when I've had one or two.
A little bit of Eminem, he seemed to suggest.
Yeah, Eminem's good because you really don't have to sing too much. My wife is the big karaoke rapper, and I got some pop hits under my sleeve that I destroy.
Does anything come to mind, Mr. Dinklage?
Well, you got to do a little Neil Diamond. You got to do a little, there's a song called Moonlight Feels Right by Starbuck, a little known song from back in the day that, look it up, and it's a catchy tune, and that's my go-to. Great song.
Moonlight. Feels right.
I'm talking to Peter Dinklage, Tyrion from Game of Thrones, Peter or Frank, depending on which death at a funeral you're watching, and Bolivar Trask, the creator of the mutant-destroying Sentinels in the new X-Men Days of Future Past. This guy, he's a good guy. He's a confident guy. He's an arrogant guy. You definitely give him a bit of spunk.
Yeah, he's definitely confident. He's definitely not good.
Well, he tries to be good.
He's a war profiteer, which isn't very good. Yeah. No, there's a certain confidence and arrogance to this guy.
I love how the film kicks off with a cool display of various people's mutant skills, like Blink and Warpath and all that. But you wouldn't get to see a lot of that, your scenes.
No, I work with Richard Nixon quite a bit.
yes.
And if you want to, you know, talk about mutations... unfortunately, because I'm the nemesis of the piece, I didn't really get much to do with the mutants themselves, otherwise that wouldn't end well.
Did you get to see, like, you know, when Magneto's doing his thing with the giant stadium walls and you're in the sort of the bunker, do you get to see any of that, or is that all CGI magic?
It sort of looks like Fassbender's doing sort of a Michael Jackson routine, because you can't really see the special effects that are happening around it, but that man pulls it off and makes it look super cool.
Was it fun to do this kind of stuff, to be, be in a superhero world?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're all big kids. It's always fun. You know, we get to play dress up and, you know, the end result is terribly exciting. I saw the film last week and I was on the edge of my seat.
Oh, wow.
Every time I was on, I'd look through my, you know, I'm just glad I didn't bring the entire franchise down.
As being the new guy.
Yeah, I'm glad I didn't just completely destroy everything that was brilliantly created.
You don't get to do as many stunts as all the other stars.
But my hair and my mustache do the work for me. That's a bit of stunt work in itself.
We haven't even mentioned the sunglasses as well.
I know.
I mean,
that's
the wrinkles.
Cool, too. I've forgotten about those.
It's beautiful. You know, I watched it and I went home to the hotel afterwards and Boogie Nights was on the television.
Oh, here we go.
It went perfectly into it. It was almost like perfect segue. Anyway.
That's one of those movies, whenever I see it, if it's on, I will watch the entire film.
I didn't have to go to sleep. Oh, dear. And so what is next? What's, I mean, obviously you're quite busy in Westeros as well at the moment.
Yeah, we're finishing up this X-Men tour, and then I go off and do back home and do a comedy with Adam Sandler, which brings me straight into season 5 of The Game of Thorns.
And
Thrones.
The Game of Thorns.
Yeah, I've heard it all.
I'm sure you have. Well, it sounds good that you're going to be in the next one as well. And hopefully we'll get to see you in person sometime when you've got a bit more time to spend in Australia.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you so much.
Hello there, Chris Cheney from The Living End.
Hello, Lindsay. How are you?
I'm very well. Lovely to talk to you, sir.
I think you caught me off guard.
Oh, no. What were you doing?
Well, I was just standing still.
Ah, that's the best place to be caught off guard.
Yeah. Stay down.
Very well done. We're getting a lot of people very much still buzzing from seeing you up on stage with the Art vs. Science gents last week at Big Pineapple Festival.
Yeah, well, that was their idea. I just went along with it.
Well, I mean, are you often the sort of person to jump at any chance to get up and rock with anyone who asks?
No, I'm not really. So it's surprising that I actually said yes, because I initially thought, no way. And then I thought, you know what? That could actually be fun. I think every guitarist needs their Steve Vai, Ralph Macchio crossroads moment.
Oh, did you have to sell your soul?
I think I sold my soul years
yeah,
ago.
I know. Probably worth more of these days. You should have held out a little bit.
I should have. And don't ask who was who, because I can't answer that.
Yeah, no. The Ralph. If you've seen Crossroads, the Ralph Macchio, Steve, I think it was probably based on another story as well with some other musicians. But I'm going to ask about this bit we were just talking about. Now, you've got a beer in your right hand, which you're sculling, as is Dan Mack from Art vs. Science, and you guys are doing the crazy pull-off trick with your left hands. Where does that come from? What book is that out of?
Well, you see, on your left hand, you got 5 fingers. Well, most people do.
Yes.
So it's just what book is that out of? I don't know. It's like probably the Angus Young book, isn't it?
I suppose. Well, he doesn't drink. It'd have to be a cup of tea with him.
He doesn't drink. Yeah, well, that was part of Dan's deal. He said, look, this is what's going to happen. We're going to trade. You do 4 bars, I'll do 4 bars, you do 4 bars, I'll do 4 bars, et cetera, et cetera. Then we're going to bring out a couple of beers and we're going to scull a beer on stage. I said, I can't do that because I do that through my own bloody gig. You're going to get me drunk before I've even played. But I couldn't refuse, could I?
No, I understand. Well, yeah, you were called to the spot and you definitely came out. Now, Bass in the Grass this weekend, Rufus Vancejoy, Amity Affliction, Peking Duck, All Day, Ally, Jackie Onassis, El Hornet from Pendulum's doing a DJ set. Has there been any invitations to get up on any of those stages?
No, there hasn't, but there's still time, probably, do you think?
There is. I suppose so. Yeah, well, it's not till tomorrow, isn't it?
Yeah, it's tomorrow.
So there you go. We saw Rufus. So, they had Nicole Miller get up on stage at the One Night Stand, and she's got a lovely voice. You could get up and do that, I suppose?
I'd love to.
You are lending your voice to something wonderful soon, and your guitar skills. The White Album shows are happening again.
They are happening again. It'll be 5 years since I did the last ones. And, I don't know, it was such a kick-ass tour that they asked us to do it again, and we've all signed on. And we sort of said that last time that we wouldn't do it again, but here we are going back on our word, the fact that it's the 45th anniversary of that record, and we just had so much fun. So we're like, you know what, let's just do it.
45th anniversary of the White Album. This is yourself, Chris Cheney, Tim Rogers, Josh Pike, Phil Jamison from Grinspoon, with a, you got an orchestra as well.
Yeah, it's like there's like 20 dudes on stage. Oh, a couple of females as well, but it's awesome. So it's, you know, it's like playing sacred material and sort of like with us four up the front, anything could happen. It's a bit of a train wreck waiting to happen, and that's what I think we loved about it last time. Oh, so bring it on.
You say train wreck and I say a rock and roll train. Are you going to be doing this again? Have a listen. While My Guitar Gently Weeps with Chris Cheney on guitar and vocals. Have you got the same? Have you guys got the same division of songs again?
We'd better, or the deal's off. I tell you what.
Imagine if Jamo goes, "No, I'm doing the guitar solo on Gently Weeps."
That's fine by me. I might just do it one hand with a beer in the other hand.
Well, you are the third best guitarist in Australia, according to news.com.au.
Well, some guy just came up to me 5 minutes ago, I swear to God, and said, oh, I heard that the guitarist in your band was voted, like, you know, the best guitarist or something. I said, oh, was he? And he said, yeah, what is he? He plays one of those big hollow body things, doesn't he? And I said, yeah, I think he does.
Whoever this guy is, maybe he was talking about Andy, because Andy's got that side project now, the Pants Collective. Isn't he playing guitar in that?
He is. He's a bit of a... He's given Grohl a run for his money, I think.
That's what he's doing. Maybe he got confused by all the side projects.
Oh. I think so.
Oh, listen to that. All right, dude. Well, Hey, so this doesn't happen until July. You got Brisbane, Adelaide, Canberra, Melbourne, Perth, Sydney, and Wollongong for the White Album shows.
Yes, sir.
You have got the Big Pine, not the Big Pine, well, that happened last weekend. You have got the Bass in the Grass Festival. It's been going for like 11, 12 years now in Darwin tomorrow. That's exciting.
Yep, we've done a few of them now, so I'm expecting the Darwin folk to get suitably loose because it normally does up that way.
It does.
And that's just the way we like it.
Absolutely. And then what? I mean, you've been popping up in a few things. The 360's new album that comes out soon, you're going to have a little bit of crazy fingers on that?
No, there's not really much guitar on it at all, which I'm quite sort of proud of. Look, I wrote a song that I thought might suit him and sent it to him. And he loved it, actually. And so we kind of met halfway. He kind of put new verses to the chorus that I had. But it's a very un-guitar sort of tune.
Right.
So, yeah, not a solo in sight.
Not a
solo. It's a good thing, I reckon.
Okay, I can't wait to hear it. That comes out, I think, on the 13th of June. Utopia.
Yeah, it's a cracker.
All right,
a cracker.
Man. And what about Living End stuff? Any new stuff in the pipeline?
Well, there's a lot of songs laying around, but we haven't kind of decided when we'll get into the studio. But I know that we will. It's just a matter of when we're sort of finished with our side projects. When I'm sort of done with the Art versus Science guys and Andy's finished putting his pants on, we'll get back to it, I can assure you.
Oh, that is beautiful. Well, have a safe trip to Darwin. I cannot wait to see what happens this weekend, and we'll see you guys soon. I should get a couple of you White Album dudes on soon, and we'll have a chat about the Beatles sometime.
That'd be great.
Lovely. Chris Cheney from Living End. Thank you very much, sir. Talk to you soon.
All right.
And just one more time, here is that wonderful Starbucks song, Peter Dinklage's go-to karaoke tune.
Feels right. Feels right.
Lovely. Hey, next week, make sure you subscribe to the podcast because it's going to be great. The Preachers have got a brand new song and they're going to be chatting to us. We're going to be talking about the Shitbox Rally. That's where like cheap-ass cars drive from all over Australia to the middle of Australia. And you're going to want to hear this. Black Francis and the Pixies. They're in the country and they're coming into the studio. This is a very big moment for me. Don't ruin it for me. Very excited. Goodbye.
The Doctor on Triple J.